The primary election is almost here. Vote centers will be open May 7th from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Make your vote count. Visit vote.indy.gov for more information. This message was paid for by the Marion County Election Board.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. I'm Bob Lovell. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. So glad you could join us. Championship Friday night. Boys championships tomorrow. We got a lot to talk about. Right now, though, plenty of things going on in the NCAA tournament. Purdue looking good. Right now, though, man's going to catch you up all night long, every 15 minutes, to star of our show, Corbin Lingenfelter.
To be with you and Landon Coons on this state championship eve. Before we get to some college scores, though, the Indiana Pacers 109-90 winners over the Los Angeles Lakers. Indiana outscored the Lakers in every quarter, their best one being the third, where they put up 32 points alone. Now taking a look at some men's action. Purdue is up on Gonzaga looking for an Elite Eight appearance. They're up 76-60. Braden Smith, two rebounds away from a triple-double. Other scores that went final earlier. The only remaining double-digit seeded team is heading to the Elite Eight. NC State knocks off number two Marquette, 66-58. The game that Purdue is going to be watching after theirs for their next matchup, Creighton and Tennessee, will tip off around 10:09. Over in the women's side, Indiana came up 4 points short against South Carolina, 79-75. Oregon State knocks off Notre Dame, 70-65. Okay. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Corbin Lingenfelter.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network, driven to savelives.org is their very important website. IHSAA Boys State Finals Championships tomorrow at Gainbridge Fieldhouse for the 114th time. A man who is involved in a whole lot of action tomorrow on the television network. The one and only, the best at what he does, Greg Rakestraw. Hello, Greg. Greg, are you there?
I am here, good sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for doing this. We appreciate it. I know you're busy. You got the kids. You got to prepare for four games. You got to do all that needs to be done tomorrow for the championships. So tell me, you are a busy man. I'm really kind of confused in terms of why you're only doing the championships for 3A and 4A. You're missing out on two other games. How did you let that happen?
There are plenty of other quality broadcasters that need the opportunity to broadcast state championship games on radio and television. So they've allowed me to save a little voice for the 3A and 4A games, which I both think are going to be fantastic games.
Well, I'm going to roll out of bed early after working until midnight and do a 1A game on the radio and the 2A game on TV. I'm excited about the opportunity. When you look at it realistically, 114 times we've played this tournament. So to be honored to be asked, as you feel, is an honor and something that you look forward to because of so much history and all that's gone before us.
Correct. And obviously, you know, I've had a chance to broadcast several of those games together. Unfortunately, that is not going to be the case tomorrow. But, you know, it's special. And I think back, you and I, you know, it's crazy. It was 14 years ago that you and I celebrated the 100th together, that there was, you know, literally a parade of champions. And we're interviewing legends as they're coming into the field house.
Yeah, right.
Moves down to the Pacers practice court. That is not even their primary practice facility anymore. That one is across the street. So you and I now have been doing this together for quite some time.
Well, we certainly have. And I'm glad you brought that up. I'd forgotten about the 100 celebration. That was fun. That was really, really, really fun to do. Obviously, it's great to work with you anytime I get a chance to do it. All right, let's talk about you. You've got the on TV tomorrow on the IHSA Champions Network. You're going to have the 3A and 4A play-by-play of these games. Let's talk about the 3A matchup between Scottsburg and South Bend St. Joe. I love this game. Scottsburg is an offensive machine doing a lot of great things. South Bend St. Joe is a very, very difficult team to match up with, played a great schedule. You should have a great game in that 3A matchup starting at 6 o'clock tomorrow night at Gainbridge Fieldhouse.
I think so, and it's a styles clash in how they play. And it's not like Scottsburg feels like they have to slow things down. You know, Delta felt they had to do that in the championship game, second time they were playing, you know, in a day of the semi set up at Logansport. Scottsburg kind of does that naturally because they're just so stinking long. You know, Eric Richardson, that is their head coach, and he is a guy that has had college coaching experience. You know, for a Scottsburg guy, former assistant coach at Hanover, spent time as an assistant coach at both Elon and Gardner Webb as well. But he takes a look at their roster this year and goes, we play six or seven guys. I got two of them that are 6'4", and one that's 6'6", and one that's 6'9". How about we play a 1-3-1? And there have been nights where they have just obliterated competition. I think they've got 12 30-point wins or more this year. They have a 38-point win in the regional round of the tournament.
Wow.
And Garen's really good. You know, Garen was 2 points away from winning the 3A championship last year, and Scottsburg beat him by 16 in the semi-state championship 2 weeks ago. So Scottsburg, again, they're not going to play a slow-down tempo offensively, but defensively how they play is going to slow down South Bend St. Joe a little bit, and that's important because St. Joe wants to get up and down the floor. And they put up 88 in the morning game of the semi-state at Logansport. And this South Bend St. Joe team has tremendous athleticism, led by Jace Lee, who is their second leading scorer. This young man's going to play college baseball at Notre Dame. If he doesn't get drafted early in the MLB draft this summer, which is an opportunity, he is a tremendous center field prospect. You've got the younger brother of J.R. Konecny, Chase, who leads him in scoring at over 20 points a game. You've also got Micah Shrewsbury's youngest son that's a starter as a sophomore on this South Bend St. Joseph team. And you alluded to it. They play such a rugged schedule being in the Northern Indiana Conference.
Hey, Greg. Can
I hang on for a second? Is that what it's time to do?
That's my time. We'll come back after a short break, all right?
We can do that.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Indiana Sports Talk brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Greg Rakestraw and I are talking about IHSAA State Finals at Gainbridge Fieldhouse tomorrow. We're talking about the 3 matchup with South Bend St. Joe and Scottsburg. Stylistically, may be a little bit different. You're talking about the great talent of St. Joe, and they clearly have. They have some really talented athletes on this basketball team who are really good basketball players.
They do not have the size that that Scottsburg has, but they've got great athletes. And they're a team, again, because of the schedule they play in the Northern Indiana Conference. Not that Scottsburg didn't play a great schedule being part of the Lone Conference that got two teams in the state finals, that being Mid-Southern Conference, a great 2A, 3A league. But St. Joe plays in a largely 3A, 4A league and plays a largely 4A schedule. You know, they were 6-7 at one point this year, and kind of got things flipped, you know, in mid to late January. So they're also a team that is a unique mix. They kind of play a kid from every class. They'll play a freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior in terms of their starting five tomorrow. So I think that is, again, Scottsburg will not want to slow it down offensively. How they play defensively forces you to slow down. If South Bend St. Joe can speed up the game, they'll give themselves a better chance to win come tomorrow night.
That's one of those easier said than done kinds of situations, to be honest. But it's, I think it's just one of those things where championship games have kind of a mind of their own. They settle into a pace organically, if you will. And it still boils down to, can you score against that length if you're South Bend St. Joe? Because that'll help you play whatever style you want. If you're able to get in and knock down some early offense, is going to be extremely important to you.
And the other thing is, too, is if Scottsburg, sure, Scott, if they shoot the way they did 2 weeks ago, good luck. They were 12 of 20 from three-point range in beating Guerin Catholic. And there is always a bit of an adjustment period, even as big as the Lloyd Scott Gymnasium is in Seymour, of taking that and adjusting it to Gainbridge Fieldhouse. But if you take what Scottsburg can do defensively and the length they have, and then you add guys that are just reining it in from three-point range – good luck with that. That is the other thing to take a look at for that 3A game.
All right, you're going to have the nightcap, the rematch, if you will, the 4A championship game between Fishers and Ben Davis. Intriguing stories on both sides. You have heavy graduation losses, loss of a coach. You have an interim coach, and Corey Taylor's done a fantastic job. Ben Davis has reloaded, and after such a record-breaking year last year, what they've been able to do is incredible. And then you see Garrett Weininger and his guys at Fishers have played a fantastic schedule and come in with only one loss. I think it's a fantastic matchup.
And there are two very similar teams in that there is not a superstar on either group. Now, KJ Wynn is a surefire all-star, going to play in the Big Ten at Northwestern. I think Mark Zachary's a future NFL player, for Ben Davis. He'd be a Division I point guard if he's not going to go play college football a couple of years from now. But there's the leading scorer on either team in the championship game is Keenan Garner, who averages about 16 points a game. This is truly about the sum of the parts for each of these two teams. And you alluded to the fact that these teams play the season opener against each other every year. Fishers won that game 74-61 at Ben Davis the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. But the obvious caveat is that Mark Zachary did not play in that game. He was getting ready for the football state finals that took place 4 days later. So I think this is going to be a ridiculously even matchup. Both these teams will go 8 or 9 deep. Fishers has just been so good. And what you would say about Fishers this year, in terms of not relying on a dominant player, you'd kind of say about Ben Davis last year. They really didn't have a guy that was a superstar scorer for him. So, again, Bob, I think I'm blessed that both the games I get to do on Saturday night should be really good.
You got time for one more?
I can hang with you.
We're back with Greg Rigstraw after a scoreboard update on Indiana Sports Talk.
I'm Corbin Lingenfelter with this Network Indiana scoreboard update. Taking a look at a final. The Purdue Boilermakers are off to the Elite Eight. 80-68 final as Purdue knocks off fifth-seeded Gonzaga. Zach Edey, 27 points, 14 rebounds in the game. Braden Smith finishes with 14 points and 15 assists. Still just two away from the triple-double, having 8 rebounds. Fletcher Lawyer and Lance Jones all scored in double figures for Purdue as well. They will meet the winner of Creighton in Tennessee, which is estimated to tip off in about 24 to 25 minutes. But another final from earlier on, NC State, the only remaining double-digit seeded team, is heading off to the Elite Eight. They knock off Marquette 67-58. They'll meet the winner of fourth-seeded Duke and top-seeded Houston, which tips off in about 13 minutes. In women's college basketball, Oregon State pulls off the upset, knocking off Notre Dame 70-65. Indiana comes 4 points short of a date in the Elite Eight, falling to South Carolina 79-75. Third-seeded NC State knocks off Stanford, the second seed, 77-67. The last game for today, fourth seeded Gonzaga meets top seeded Texas. The Pacers were 109 winners to 90 over the Los Angeles Lakers. Revenge from earlier in the season and last Sunday, where the Lakers put up 150 on the Pacers. I'm Corbin Lingenfelter.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Greg Rakestraw from the ISC Sports Network and from the IHSAA Champions Network and the voice of IUPUI basketball, my broadcast partner on that. Let's continue to talk about IHSAA championships, and then we'll move into the news of the new coach at IUPUI. Greg, you're talking about Ben Davis and Fishers, and what a matchup. This Fisher story has been an interesting one because first-year coach Garrett Weininger has done something that it's hard to do, and that's take a team to a championship game in his first year. And so it's not unprecedented, but clearly it doesn't happen very often. And he has – you talk about talented group. They have – this is a balanced team, a deep team, and the depth has been one of the keys to their success.
They'll play nine, and they've had, you know, guys step up and hit key shots at big times. And, again, you got to remember, you know, their star player the last 2 years is not there, and he didn't graduate. Jalen Harrelson is now playing at LaPorte La Lumiere, and Jalen played the summer session with Fishers, and they were dominating people then. And then in July, he announces he's going to go the prep school route, and everybody says, well, Fishers is going to be good. They're not going to be like state championship level good. And Fisher said, you want to bet? And they won the entire year. And remarkably, Ben Davis and Fishers were beaten on back-to-back nights by Carmel. That's the one team that has beaten Fishers all year. And Carmel won those games on January 26th and 27th. But Garrett Weininger is, I think, a superstar in the making in terms of coaching. You know, he is a fifth-year varsity head coach. He is 31 years old. And this completes a pretty cool trilogy for him. He has appeared in the state championship game as a player at Rochester. He has been an assistant coach in a state championship game on that 32-0 Warren Central team that was led by Chris Byers.
Right.
And now he'll be the head coach in a state championship game. And allow me to point out again, he is 31 years old. He is really good. And he's got great kids. Again, the Garner kid that's a move-in, his second year at Fishers, is a Division I level talent, potential Indiana All-Star. Bob, they play two freshman guards in their top six in terms of Cooper Zachary and Jason Gardner Jr. And yes, that is 25 years ago, Mr. Basketball, Jason Gardner's son from North Central, now on the coaching staff at the University of Arizona. So, you could be seeing this Fishers team, you know, for the next few years. They're going to be good. I think they're really going to be good as long as Garrett Weininger is going to be their head coach.
All right, as we mentioned, you and I have been doing, how many years have we done the IUPUI games?
I think since Western civilization started, I think at this point. In all seriousness, we just completed of doing every home game on ESPN+. You and I just completed year number 11.
You've been their play-by-play voice on radio and now television for how many years?
For 20 of the last 24.
Outstanding. Outstanding. And for someone who's been living on a desert island somewhere, I was the basketball coach and athletic director there. I was the coach for 12. I was basketball coach for 12 and AD for 10. So the news, obviously, earlier in the week, Paul Corsaro, the coach at the University of Indianapolis, your alma mater, leaving to come to IUPUI. We both know him very, very well, and clearly we're happy for him, and I'm happy for him and for IUPUI. It's clearly a loss for UIndy, but it's an interesting story, and we're going to get to see some new leadership and a brand-new look at IUPUI in the games we do this year.
Correct, and I thought he was the perfect hire. You know, there was tremendous interest in that job, and there are a lot of qualified candidates, both some that had local ties and none that have no connection to Indianapolis whatsoever, which shows you a couple of things. A, the pull of being a Division I coach, and even though there are more of those jobs than there used to be, there are still only 362 of those across the country. Secondarily, there is a feeling, and I agree, that that is a sleeping giant at the low to mid-major level. And again, it's been 13 years since IUPUI has had a winning season. But, Bob, I was there for a stretch of 10 years where every year was 500 or better. And I think we were all aware of the great job that Ron Hunter did at IUPUI. We now have an even greater appreciation for the job that he did in the 17, 18 years that he was there. But you can win there. I've been there for it. I've seen it. And the formula to win there that Ron had is one that, frankly, Paul can deliver and has had because of his local ties and because of the idea of recruiting more locally. Todd Howard tried that. For whatever reason, it wasn't successful. Jason Gardner did it and had a greater level of success but could not sustain it. Over the last 4 or 5 years, for whatever reason, IUPUI has gotten away from that, and obviously every year but one, it has been a struggle in that time frame since for IUPUI. So IUPUI will not limit itself to recruiting local players. They're going to fly the flag for kids that want to come back home and play closer to Indianapolis, or those that want to have an opportunity coming out of high school to play in this city. And I expect things to change dramatically, and you can do that now. The transfer portal is not a three-year build. You can be better immediately, and I think that'll be the case for Paul Cassaro in year one and what will be known as IU Indianapolis as of July 1st.
Yeah, it's going to take me a minute or two to be able to make the conversion after spending quite a while in my association, either as a coach, administrator, or as a member of their broadcast team. I've been associated with the institution since 1982, and I understand everything you said. I understand. I fully understand. I also, having been there, most of my guys, as you know, were from Indianapolis, and I would tell you that recruiting locally sounds great. It's absolutely wonderful. It's not as easy as people think. And that's it. If you gave me an hour, I could explain it to you. But I would temper everyone's expectations, let them know it's great. It sounds great. You're going to try to do it, but it's not as easy as just saying we're going to do it.
I understand that, but I would also counter with Greg Simmons, Aldre Gibson, Jesse Bingham could all really play. I don't think you left 465 to get any of them.
Well, no. And to be perfectly blunt, since we didn't have any money, I stayed within my recruiting budget. Greg Rakestraw, you're the best. Have fun tomorrow. I'll talk to you tomorrow night.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks.